The message I want to share this morning is a message to sort of give a foundation for all these things that we are doing. And I've entitled this message, Being Part of the Body of Christ. Be part of the Body of Christ in a life group. You can be part of the Body of Christ in the ministry team. Being part of the Body of Christ. Hope that you picked up a sheet when you came in. I want you to be able to fill it in. Take these thoughts home with you. Think about them, pray about them, meditate, and see what the Lord would say to you through them. So here's the first point. When you become a Christian, you die to being a separate entity and are born again as a member of the body of Christ. Before we're a Christian, you're a separate entity, you're an individual, and something happens. You're born again. And when you're born again, now you find yourself transformed into something different. You're no longer a member or an individual, but now you become a member of a larger organism, and that's the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13 says, "For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jew or Greeks, whether slave or free." In other words, no matter what your previous affiliation is, that is all removed away, and we all have become made to drink into one Spirit. You could sort of liken this as, I guess, stalks of grain, wheat, and they're planted in the earth. And each stalk grows up and it produces grain. And so it is sort of in our lives. We're in this field of the world and we grow up into from roots of family, and then there are children, and you become a grain that is produced. And that's how we usually identify. We identify with our family. Or we become, like it says here, some are Greek and some are Roman and some are Romanians and some are from, we are gathered here from every continent of the world. And it's just a blessing to see that blend of people. But we're all born and we're raised up. And now something happens, though. Once you become a Christian, once you're born again, the death penalty that hangs over all of our heads, that we're going to die as a result of our sin, we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're harvested. This machine comes, and we're cut off from this is biblical terms, the old Adam, and now we're harvested. We've been reaped, if I could put it that way, and we're brought into a different realm. I grew up on a farm. I used to drive the combine, see those things fall into the flat bed of the sickle and go through the combine, and I've looked out in the back and saw all those grains going down into the bin on the combine, and that's a salvation experience. And some of us think that's sort of the end of it. I'm saved, but I'm still an individual grain. And I've been harvested into different bins. We could have the Baptist bin, the Pentecostal bin, the Presbyterian bin, and we're non-denominational. We say, hey, people from all kinds of different bins can come and be part of us here. And we sort of think that's how it is. And we can fellowship with other people as individuals, gathering together, being in the bin, wherever we are, and that's sort of the end of it. But that's not the end of it. That's not what God has designed. He hasn't designed just people who are saved to come together, even in a place like this, meet together, and still be individuals. He wants to blend us together. And I used to take those bags of grain down the lane of our farm and turn to the right, and there was a miller that was there. Mr. Souls. I've taken the grain down there many times, taken the bags, dumped those individual kernels into the hopper and go through the grinder, and lo and behold, it would come out as chop. And we put them back in the bags. I'd take them back to the farm. And it was used in that way. And so now, when that happened, though, you couldn't identify any particular grain. It had been all ground together. And, of course, in a sense of human sense, the grain is ground into flour. And then the flour goes to a bake shop. And a bake shop takes that flour and other ingredients, put it all together, and puts it into an oven. And now something else is produced, a bread, a beautiful aroma, a bread that is edible and everyone enjoys and loves the smell of it and is nurtured by it. The Bible says that we are the bread in 1 Corinthians, that we have all been harvested from our individual selves and now we're blended with others, but this blending is not just a superficial blending of putting the grains together, but now each grain has lost its identity in something that's bigger. And God has made us into a beautiful loaf that's to feed the world. So I want you to see, this is what the body of Christ is. When you become a Christian, you have ceased to be an individual in the eyes of God, and you have now become part of something much bigger. Salvation, I put in your notes, does not only create a change in your eternal destination, but also a change in your present status. So obviously, because I'm saved, I have a different destination. If I keep myself in my individual state, the judgment of sin is going to be on my head, and when I go to judgment, I'm going to be lost. But if I take Christ's death as my death and I accept what he has done and I give myself to him, I cease being. I died. But now I'm born again. But I'm born again into a different status. This is really, really important to see. You will never get into heaven on your own merit. And I can't get in as Ken Miles, and you can't get in by whatever your name is. We get into heaven because our life is hid in the body of Christ. And so that's how there's only one person good enough to go to heaven, and that's Jesus. And so this process of salvation is that I'm taken from an individual state, and now I am put into this body. And through it, with Christ my head, I enter heaven based on his merit, not on my merit. Now, we see that in the sense of eternal destination. But I want you to see something this morning that's really important. How do you view yourself right now? You are no longer, in God's eyes, just an individual. You are now part of a whole. You are meant to be part of a body. What's the body? Well, it's the body of Christ, is the church from the day of Pentecost right up to now, through different ages and different locations upon the earth. There's one body of Christ. But that one body of Christ is expressed in local expressions. And so every generation there's been a church. In this generation, there are different churches that are part of the overall body of Christ. But we identify with a local body. And those of you that are here, we identify as the KW Christian Fellowship. We're part of the body of Christ. But we identify here. And what you need to see, and this is so important, for you to have well-being, your spiritual well-being, is dependent upon whether you're part of the body. Because it's the body that gives you life. You cut a member off, it'll die. Keep it in the body, it will live, and it will grow. If a member of the body gets hurt, we don't separate it and put it over here and say, when you get better, you can come back to the body. No, when a member gets hurt, we grab it and hold it and know that the life, the resource, the nutrients of the body will heal that member. You need to see yourself as a member of the body of Christ, give it the importance that it should have. God never intends for us just to come together as individuals and meet on Sundays in a meeting. We do that from an outer perspective, but from a spiritual perspective, we are all members of the body of Christ, and we are coming together as a whole. We're the body of Christ. And you need to recognize that in your mentality, or you'll tend to take a step or two to the side, become an observer, watching what's happening, maintaining your own individualism, never really giving yourself to the body, and we miss out on health, growth, and function. Because the members of the body are to work together to do things. If I'm going to do something, it's a whole body function. If I want to move that paper, I've got to see where it is. My eye spotted it. I turn, all the functioning of the body to turn, the inner ear giving balance, coming over till I see where it is. I want to move the paper over here. No one member can do that. This is a body function. And if a member of the body isn't participating, it hinders the whole from doing what it was meant to do. We call that someone that is handicapped or paralyzed. One member of the body isn't functioning, isn't doing its part. And so what I'm saying, there needs to be a shift in our mentality that we recognize, hey, it's no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me, and I'm part of the body of Christ, and together we accomplish his purposes. This is the heart of life groups. This is the heart of ministry teams. This is the spiritual foundation for all of this. So your function, this is the next point, in the body is unique and is determined by the gifts and abilities God gives you. So you're a member of the body of Christ. What do you do in the body of Christ? Well, that's dependent and determined by your gifts and abilities. What are you able to do? If I look at this natural body, I have a hand, I have eyes, I have a heart, I have lungs, I have kidneys. How does each member know what to do? Well, according to its function, its abilities. The heart can't do what the hand does. Hand can't do what the heart does. Kidneys can't do what the liver does. All of these things are working together, and each one is unique, but each one is necessary, and it's determined by how you function. This is what 1 Corinthians 12:11 says. He gives each person what he wants to give them. You are shaped the way you are with the gifts and abilities you have. God's determined that. He's made you perfect for his plan for your life. You're not perfect for someone else's plan. The lung is perfect to put the oxygen into the bloodstream. The heart is perfect for pumping the blood around the body. Exchange them, and they can't do it. And one could look at the other one and say, well, I can't do what they're doing. I guess I don't need to do anything. No, you have a place. You have a part. You have a function. What determines your function? God has given you gifts. And the Bible says everyone has been given a gift. Every member has a function. It says in 1 Corinthians 12:7, and the Holy Spirit gives each one a gift so that all people may be helped. So your gift is to benefit the entire body. And so it's really, really important that you find your place. But many people don't get involved either because they have a mentality, I am an individual. And that's them, and that's here I am. I'll look in. I might come in, step in a little bit, but I want to be able to step back. I want to get too drawn in here. Don't want to get into that blender, that grinder, where I'm going to lose my identity. Not realizing that's what happened when you got saved. And he's now making something more beautiful from you than what you could ever be on your own. And you'll never feel more fulfilled than when you are actually involved in the body of Christ doing what he's designed you to do. Man, when you work in the area of your gifting, there's just nothing that gives you more satisfaction than that. You may get tired in doing your function, but you'll never feel drained because you feel invigorated when you're doing what God has given you to do. And even though, as I say, you may get tired, but what a relaxation there is at the end of it. And you go, wow, thank you, God, for allowing me to be used in this way. Now, everyone's used a little differently. And everything's according to your shape. Your shape. If you've been through the 301 class, we do four classes called the Diamond Development classes. They're the basic classes of the church. Pathway to membership, pathway to maturity, pathway to ministry. And in that class, we talk about your shape. S, your spiritual gift. H, your heart's passion. A, your abilities. P, your personality. E, your experiences. Every person has a shape. It's distinct. Just like tools in a toolbox. A hammer is shaped in a certain way to drive nails. Pliers are shaped in a certain way to hold things. You could try to use a screwdriver to be a hammer, but it wouldn't be very helpful. It's made to do a particular function. You have a particular shape. And that's why we do our classes, and they're beginning actually, I think, next week. And you can sign up for the 101 class, the 201 classes, they're going to be beginning. That's in addition to the other things we're talking about. But they run on Sunday morning, so it's not taking another evening. I'm trying to share with you, we're trying to do exactly what the Bible says. Help people find out how God made them so they can get involved in something that they will feel good about, feel satisfied in, and be successful in. And you can't just think to yourself, I'm not important, because every member is important. We're held together, here's your next point, we're held together by our commitment to God and each other. How's this body held together? It says in Colossians 2:19, holding fast to the head, from whom all the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God. And so this body has joints, where two members come together as a joint. The joint is held together with ligaments, commitments that hold them in place. There's opposite muscles. Some muscles pull this way, some muscles pull this way. Why doesn't the whole body fall apart? Because there's ligaments, commitment. Not everybody's the same. Not everyone thinks the same in the body of Christ. But the thing that holds us together is our commitment to God and to each other. Now, here's the thing. Your commitment to God is shown by your commitment to each other. What if everyone just said, you know what? I don't care about the other members of the body. I just want to be connected to the head. Fingers connected out here. Lung hanging off the side of your head. Everyone just wants to be connected to the head. Because I'm an individual. Or do you say, no, I'm not an individual. I'm part of the body. This finger needs to be connected to the hand. The hand needs to be connected to this arm. The arm needs to be connected to the torso. The torso has a neck that connects to the head. There's a flow from the head on down out through the whole body. And that's exactly what Psalm 133 says about the unity of the body of Christ. It says that it's like the oil poured upon Aaron's head that ran down through his beard right down to the lowest part of his garment. So are we. We're in the body of Christ. You take your place in the body of Christ, and the oil of the Spirit flows down through you. And so we need to have this mentality that I can't separate myself from other members of the body of Christ. But so many Christians do. They hold on to their individualistic, I'm just going to be a part. I'll look on. I'll just stand on the fringe. I'll look in every now and then. I might just touch my foot in from time to time, but never, ever draw me into this thing. And they realize they're missing so much. You're meant to be part of the body of Christ. Get the flow and life of the Holy Spirit through your life. It's going to be when you're joined with others. There's no other way of doing it. You can't be a Lone Ranger Christian. You're not born into a range and you travel around on your horse to do what God wants. No, you are born again, baptized into a body. That's who you are when you become a Christian. The whole body is joined and held together by every joint. Ephesians 4:16. Now, here's the next point. Every member is needed and is important. Every member is needed and is important. You are important. You need to be there. You'll be missed if you're not there. The body is limited if you're not there. Once you watch this little video that we found that illustrates how the body of Christ should operate or how it operates, you know, if not everyone is participating.
Hey, good morning. Good morning. Okay, all right. Yeah, you can go ahead. Thank you. Hey, Zach. Morning.
Morning.
Welcome to reality.
Thank you.
I'm Josh. Great to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Take this gift bag.
Thank you.
Awesome. All right. I actually got to run. Hey, guys. Give me some. Yes. Yes. Good morning. Do you need help finding a seat?
Yes, I do.
Okay, right over here.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Welcome.
All right. I know some of you are thinking, hey, that's me in that video, because a lot of you are doing a lot of different things, and that's okay. Sometimes we're called to do more than one thing, but sometimes there's a lack, and people are running all around trying to fill positions and places because someone that God wants to fill that place is sort of standing on the side and looking in. Now, obviously, the application of all that I'm saying here is not just what happens on Sunday morning here. But that is part of what it is as well. But it's how we're all also doing what we're happening all week long, and how you're knit with other members of the body of Christ, and how you're functioning beyond the official structures of the church. But let me point out, but we are a church, and the things we're doing, the ministries that we have, we feel are given to us from the Lord, and this is to reach out to others. And so it is important that every member realizes they're important and needed, and not one member excludes themselves. Listen to what it says in 1 Corinthians 12 here. The body's not one part, but has many parts. Perhaps the foot says, I'm not the hand, so I do not belong to the body, but it's still a part of the body. Perhaps the ear says, I'm not the eye, so I do not belong to the body, but it is still part of the body. If all the body were an eye, how could we hear? If all the body were an ear, how could we smell? the way it is now, God has put every part in the body in the place he wanted it. If there were all one part, how could it be a body? The eye cannot say to the hand, I do not need you, and the head cannot say to the feet, I do not need you. He did this so that the body would not be divided into groups, but all the parts would help each other. Now all of you together are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Each one of you is a part of it. If you're here this morning, I'm talking about you. Every one of you is a part of it. And if one part has trouble, then all the other parts are troubled too. If one part is praised, then all the other parts are glad with it. Because there's no individualism in the body of Christ. No one member saying, I want to get credit for that. I'm in the loaf, and everyone's saying there's a beautiful aroma, but I want to be pointed out in the loaf. And I don't like it that this person's getting praised over here. Don't you realize we're all one? We're all knit together into one body. We're to be for his glory, each one praising each other. The ones that are less prominent are needed. And this is where we exclude ourselves. We look at someone else, well, I can't do what they do. I'm not talented. They don't need me. I don't need to show up. I don't need to get involved. That's where Satan deceives you. He wants to rob you of your health, of your growth, and of your function in the body of Christ. And there's so many reasons he'll give you to step back, not get involved. And you know what they're all involved around? You personally. And you got to die to yourself and say, no, it's not about me. It's about Christ. It's about his body. I'm to be part of a whole here. I'm going to die to myself, and I'm going to be involved where God wants me to be, not where someone's forcing you to be, but where you feel in your heart that's what I should be, and don't exclude yourself and say I'm not important. The other side, he goes, if you're prominent, don't say I don't need this person and get arrogant. No, every member is needed. And it says even the ones that seem to have less honor, least presentable, hey, we give them more honor. And here's the underwriting principle. The servant is the greatest. So no matter what you're doing, whatever part you have to play, big or small, if you do it with a servant's heart, you are the greatest. You don't have to have a prominent role to be great in God's eyes. Do the small thing that you are designed for and do it with a servant's heart, and you may end up being the greatest in the body of Christ, because that's how the body functions. It's so, so important. The end result is a body that is healthy and fulfills God's work. These gifts to make God's people better, able to do their work for him and to make the body of Christ become stronger, they are given so that they will be really grown up Christians like Christ himself. It is from Christ that the whole body grows as each different part does its work. You have a part, do your work. It grows so that it becomes stronger in love. Here's the final two points on your notes. Very vitally important, because it relates to what we're doing this morning right now with life groups and ministry teams. Life groups are meant to be heart-to-heart connections where we connect and grow in Christ's life. God wants you to connect with the body of Christ. You don't connect just by, I took up membership. You don't connect just by, I faithfully come to every meeting. You could do those things and still not have really connected with the body of Christ. You still view yourself as an individual. It's when you join heart to heart with someone, where you carry someone else in your heart, and you think about them and you're praying for them, and someone else is carrying you in their heart. That's where the body comes together. That's where there's a unity that comes when you carry one another in each other's heart. Life groups are to help to promote that. You could join a life group and still never join heart to heart. Or you could join a life group and connect heart to heart. And God only knows when those connections will happen. So that's why we have life groups. As Andrew said at the beginning, to make friends, to get to know other people, to pray for other people, to encourage other people, to grow together. That will happen more in a life group than on a Sunday morning when you're looking at the back of the head of the person in front of you. But when you're in a circle and you're talking and you're sharing and you're praying and you're doing things together, that's where you'll tend to connect. And the final one is ministries are meant to be shoulder-to-shoulder participation where we combine our gifts to fulfill God's work. So they go together, life groups, connecting heart to heart, ministries, working shoulder to shoulder with others, putting our gifts together to accomplish God's purposes. And the end is God will be glorified and he'll be praised and the church will accomplish what it's supposed to be. And God will receive glory. Would you stand with me this morning? Well, you ready to be part of the body of Christ in a fresh and new way? Just open your heart. That's the key. Open your heart and the connections will be made. Don't disqualify yourself from anything. Just get involved. And your gift will make room for you. As you start giving and contributing your gift and your abilities and your talents, that's when there's a place made for you in the body of Christ that you feel comfortable and you'll never feel like you're alone. Father, I thank you for your word. It's so strong. It's so powerful. We know these truths, but many times, Lord, we don't live in the consciousness of it. I pray, Lord, right now at this time as we have these sign-ups and we're asking people to get involved, that you'll touch people's hearts here that maybe they have been standing on the fringe. But you're calling them to let go of the shoreline and to get out into the current of your life and accomplish what you have for them. So, Lord, guide and direct us as a congregation. Bless this time as people move, looking at the different places. Guide us, Lord. And may each one be in the place you want us to be. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.